Welcome to a new episode of the Cacao with Pranamoa podcast.
So we are here today. We literally were just sitting and having smoothie bowls, right? And had a very inspiring conversation that all of a sudden we said, you know what, this should be on our podcast.
It's one of these moments where why we started the podcast, because we always had these conversations, and then one of us said, oh, you know what, that sounds like a great podcast. This totally should have been a podcast. So then today I said, oh, by the way, this could be totally a podcast. And then you said, you know, let's do it. I'm ready. I said, okay, let's do it. And that was like 30 minutes ago, 20 minutes ago.
And that conversation was so hot. I mean, the fire of passion in the conversation was something that, you know, it's those moments where, here we go, let's share and bring that passion and that inspiration back to you today.
Yeah, so what do we talk about?
So today we are talking about something that happened to me this morning. I was giving a breathwork meditation session to a man who's here on a solo man's retreat. And the conversation over our smoothie bowls, I started crying because the session this morning moved me so much. It moved me so deeply. So the conversation is around men's empowerment through having a safe space to be vulnerable, and how feelings are sometimes so repressed when there's an expectation around, for example, a man having to hold all this responsibility, or like this societal pressure of a man needing to be the provider and have it all taken care of and have all the healing work done. And sometimes that represses a man's ability or the space for him to be really authentic and vulnerable, because there's just so much pressure and expectation. And I saw that with my client this morning, and he was basically moved to tears and crying pretty much the entire time. And the reason why I started crying over our smoothie bowl conversation was that it moved me so much that someone could have me as their safe space holder for that kind of processing and vulnerability, and my desire to be that way for more men, especially because I get so fired up and angry when I see the pressure that women oftentimes place on men, that they must have it, you know, all figured out, and they must be the provider and be the source of safety and all these things, where oftentimes men have quite the spectrum of things that they're going through as well. And yeah, it just moved me so much. So we'll talk about that today.
Yeah. Yeah. And I found it really beautiful because, you know, hearing you talk about this topic from a female perspective, and I remember, if I can share a little bit, you even said that, you know, you have been witnessing so many women also online, different coaches and people and just normal women that talk about the topic, and then they oftentimes tend to lash out on men, to, you know, blame them with all kind of things, or speak out, and say what they want from men, and what men don't do right, what men should do more, what men should do different, and all these kind of things. So we talked a little bit about that, which was very interesting for me to hear that.
Yeah,
because we men talk about these things, obviously, and we men are like, of course, we are in brotherhood. We are like on our side, and we understand each other, and we see the things similar way. But it's not very common sometimes, unfortunately, that women have the same perspective.
I think it is rare, because I was just at a women's retreat, as you know, for this last week, and actually a dear friend of mine, we both are on the same page with this. We both have long-term partnerships that have, you know, she's been with her partner about the same time as us, and she also knows that men are doing the healing work, and her partner also does men's work and works with men. And so we were talking about that because there were some comments being made during the retreat of women and their anger towards men. And I'm not being anti-feminine here, because that's a big thing to that's something I want to talk about, is that it's not being anti-feminine to respect men. It's to respect men is to bring balance and to bring harmony to the planet. And this energy that sometimes women are in, this and this can trigger a lot of people, so I'm welcoming that, because I think this conversation is so necessary. I mean, some of the women on the retreat had this viewpoint, like, you know, this superiority over not even like we don't need men, but also this they're not showing up kind of mentality. And my friend and I just sat there and we looked at each other and we were like, it's not worth it to create a debate right now. But it was very interesting to see how when one has a partner who is consciously doing the work and who is in men's work circles, you look at things with a different perspective. And I want to bring that perspective to more women, regardless of whether they have a partner or whether their partner is doing men's work, because from where how I believe it and how I see it is that the future is not feminine. The future is balance. The future is feminine and masculine.
Yeah, like you said, I was about to quote that. So yeah. Thank you for saying it already, because you mentioned it in our conversation before. You know, and I have to say, I really love empowered women. You are empowered women to me. And I love the whole thing of women empowerment. And I love that we change and over generations and societal changes. I love all that. And I think, as for many things, in any growth, any personal development, anything we change about ourselves, even independent from female and male, there's a thing that it's the balance. And when, let's say, you have a tendency and you want to fix it, you want to change it for yourself, well, oftentimes it's easy to go all the way to the other side, to the other extreme, to then come back into the middle at some point. Like, for example, if I'm a people pleaser, I'm always about, avoiding conflict and like making everyone happy and all that. And then I notice, okay, I want to change it. And I learn and I grow and I do exercise, whatever. I have coaching, anything. And then I go, maybe sometimes I go a little bit more over to the other side. So I'm more extreme.
So much boundaries.
So many boundaries yeah. And really direct with people. And like, so until then I find the middle ground, which is the well-balanced spot. And I think sometimes maybe there's the same thing happening here with women or with men, where women are, you know, all about empowerment. And then they maybe sometimes... It's also good. It's a good exploration. I like it. You know, it's beneficial sometimes too. But they go a little bit over to the other side. Maybe the same for men when they have been on the masculine side, and they go a little bit too much on the other side, on the extreme. So it's all about balance at the end.
It's all about balance and creating space for the other, other person, regardless of gender. It's creating space for them to come to their own realization of... and softening of the expectation on another person. Because what I've realized from this person that I was working with this morning, and I've been working with him for several weeks now, and even from the start, his ability to open himself to this work, to conscious work with breath work and inner child healing and meditation and guided journeys. And it's the first time he's ever experienced this in his life. And he said, I'm such a safe space to do that. And this is the first time in his life, he's in his mid-40s, that he's ever even experienced these types of introspections. For example, okay, the anger is natural. It's normal to feel that. There's like to release the shame, to accept the feeling, and then to understand where in the body it's actually residing, right? Most people don't even have that awareness. And I didn't until I did this therapy and inner child work a couple of years ago. I didn't have that awareness either. So to be able to be a safe space for not just someone, not just another woman, because I've been working with women since, 15 years, to have men who are going through heartbreak, who are going through relationship conflicts, who are going through their own insecurities and doubts, to have a woman hold space for them. I feel really, really honored.
And that actually is a really important thing. You mentioned the word safe, that men feel safe to share more feelings and show themselves more vulnerable. And that's a really important thing, because if we talk about stereotypes and we talk about history and, generations of where men thought all they have to be is to be strong and to be always like, kind of like closed up and strong and don't show the feelings and always be like, everything is fine, to make the woman feel safe and just be the strong, stereotypic man. It's really important if men and women want to change that, because women want to be more empowered and more strong, and men want to be able to show more feelings, and this will be a general balance. It's really important that also both men and women make space for it. And one important thing for that is for the women to offer safe space for the men, which is super important in relationships, which I'm very grateful that I could say I have the feeling that it's a safe space. So I can be.
It wasn't always that way.
yeah, I mean, I can be this strong man, and I can take care of things, and I can, you know, convey a feeling of safety and security. And I can also share my feelings. You know, I can share my feelings, and I can show myself vulnerable. And I can also tell you, for example, when I'm not really able to maybe I'm still able to, but the thing is, if I'm always like holding it all together and, mm-hmm. you know, be the strong man that can handle everything and take care of all the things with all the responsibilities, I can do it, but it's not a healthy thing. I think many, many men can do it, and they could also do it over generations, but it's not. That is the most healthy thing for them. So mm-hmm. that's why it's so beautiful to start with providing safe space for men too, because if the stereotypes should change, then there needs to be space for the change.
That I love that you brought that up. There needs to be space for the change. There needs to be a deep listening and awareness and presence that women can provide to men to allow them not to be perfect. Just like we want to have space for ourselves in relationship or in life to be growing, to be evolving, to be changing. It's so beautiful to see someone as their humanness and not expecting them to jump to any sort of new level of being without properly allowing them to surrender and soften into the space that they're in. And for a man to cry in my arms in a session or just next to me in a session and to like give them a hug and they're, you know, pouring out tears that they've never, ever, ever shed with a woman in their life. You know, it's such a vulnerable space, and it takes being able to see them already as the king that they are. Like, I was giving this man a visualization in his session today to see himself as a little boy, to see himself as the king that he is. When I look at this man, he's, you know, he's going through so much in his life right now, heartbreak, relocation, all of these challenges. And I already see him as the king that he is and can be because he's showing up for himself just in this simple, you know, very vulnerable act of coming on a retreat to do this work. So I don't see men as needing to uphold the world on their shoulders in order to be king. I think that this is the first step, and this is probably more kingly, if you want to use, if so many women use the word, sometimes I use it too, but I think it's so much more respected to see a man on his knees, like crying and forgiving himself and doing that work, and then trying to fake it and hold the world together when inside he's crumbling, right? Like, yeah. It's not authentic that way.
Usually, I mean, talking about relationships, what really is important from, you know, from my experience, from our experience, or also from experience with the couples that we work with, exactly. On retreats and so on, is that it's really important to have an emotional connection. That emotional bond and connection you have does not come from you know, the man always just like holding it together, not showing feelings, and just everything is fine, you know. The emotional connection comes from both people sharing intimate feelings and sharing challenges and, you know, crying sometimes if it needs to be, or showing, at least you don't have to cry, but at least like show the feelings you have, and especially in challenging times. And that's a healthy way to really strengthen the bond together that man and woman can have. And I think that's the same outside of relationships. If it's like just like normal friendships or work relationships, you know, it's a more stronger connection.
And then it also helps, I love that you brought that up, because it also helps when there's that intimate connection and honesty and vulnerability, then the distribution of what is considered responsibility can then be actually talked about and expressed in an authentic way. Because I remember giving an example of us was that many years ago, I don't know how long it was, though, there was a pressure that you probably felt from my side of doing all these different things, whether it was building and doing this and organizing that and being responsible for the house and the cleaning and all the things. And I didn't know that the weight was so much on your shoulders until you expressed it. And then we started to figure out a new divide of how do I take on the responsibilities that feel really good for me, and allowing you to be so authentic and expressed without judgment of, oh, he can't be the provider. Like, I didn't I didn't react that way. It was like, wow, how can I step in and show up with my own my own inner masculine and hold whatever I need to hold, rather than just being, oh, feminine doesn't need to do anything.
Yeah, and that's a great example, because you know how I think some relationship coaches, they say, or even some books I read it somewhere or heard it somewhere, is this common notion of, yeah, so what partners want in a relationship is they want the person that is everybody, embodies everyone, like embodies the best friend and the lover and the partner and like all the different personalities that you can imagine.
Esther Perel, right? Esther Perel said something about that too.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. I think that's, yeah, exactly. I think I heard it from her, and she's awesome, and she has so many great things on there. But yeah, so the we want to have our partner embodying all these different people or personalities or traits that you can have. You know, like, and some of them are even a little bit contradictory. So it's challenging. So, and she said that it's not really possible even. So we shouldn't even look for that. Yeah. So to come back, what you shared is when you mentioned, yeah, we had a phase where also we have been in challenging situations where I was just like taking on all these responsibilities, and I know I can do it, you know, with everything, with life, with building, with things, taking care of so many important things and financial things and different other things. Just, carrying it and taking care of it and having the responsibilities. And at the same time, this oftentimes can take away, coming back to the different traits and roles, this can take away energy for the other things, for example, the role of the lover, you know, or the role of the just fun person that is just so easy, light, and have fun things, and you do love together and just be so, you know, light and easy. So that's why, especially for these things, the balance is so important. That yes, man, we can carry a lot, and it's great. I like to do it, you know. That's how it was always like that for me. I like doing things and having challenges and taking care of things and using my power. And at the same time, I also want to make sure, especially when I'm in a relationship, that I have the balance and I also have time to be embodying the lover, or embodying the just the fun person to hang around with, just easy, you know, easy, light, fun times. So it's really even more important for that to have a balance to conversation with our partner. And if we don't have the safe space to talk about it, that's not good.
I remember when we didn't have that safe space to do it. I remember you would carry so much.
And I wouldn't share it.
You wouldn't share it because you didn't feel safe. We had a family consolation session with a dear friend, and he basically said, oh, you don't feel safe to express yourself. And I admit that I didn't create that safe space. It might have not been a safe space to do that, because I also had this expectation of, why don't you have fun with me? Why don't you want to make love all the time, you know?
Yeah, and I wasn't really aware of that either. I wasn't really aware that I didn't share my feelings so much, which is probably most of the men. Mm-hmm. Even when I thought, you know, I'm pretty open and I talk about my feelings, I can talk about my feelings with women, and I can share emotionally, and I'm emotionally available and open. But even then, in one of the sessions we had, our friend and coach, he asked me, so yeah, like, share your feelings, like, what do you feel? And I'm like, oh, interesting, I don't really share that usually so directly with you.
And now you do, and that's one of the really cool things, is now that we've been so vulnerable about responsibilities and expectations, and I can just ask you heart-centered questions, you know, and you're there for it, and you respond and you talk about your feelings more, and the lovemaking is more, and the fun is more. And it's amazing how all that, what needed to happen was the safe space for, you know, you to talk about what's actually on your heart and your shoulders, and then we can shift things when we need to. And I can take on more, because I also feel, too, when I'm in my, you know, feminine of not really doing much and caring for too much and all that, it's not really a place where I'm in my radiance. If I'm in a place where I'm just depending on your energy, or depending on whatever's happening in the relationship to be my source of happiness, then my radiance is down, and I'm not embodying my balanced feminine and masculine. And I need to have within myself that personal responsibility. Responsibility of the home is definitely a feminine quality as well. Home, caretaking, taking care of the land, the space. And also for what's something that I discovered that I just really love is making sure that we're always nourished and that we always have our meals made. And it's something that you never have to think about whether there's enough food in the fridge or enough, you know, supplies for things. So there's different little things that I've been realizing that make a huge difference and help to keep you in a really balanced and nourished place. And then from there, it's easier to express. So it just, yeah.
Sure, and that's also communication, the relationship, let's say, then to sit down and say, okay, how can I contribute and how can you contribute and what you like to do, like what is easy for you? And then it's not about connecting to any old roles, like, you know, oh, you as a woman, you buy the groceries and make the food or something. No, it's more about really asking and tuning in, okay, what's easy for you? Like what's
pleasurable, what's fun?
Exactly.
How can we bring more fun into the relationship from us just figuring out, yeah, what we really love and then what things take us out of our lovemaking and our joy. You know, of course there's responsibilities, but we can help each other feel just so much more light with that.
Yeah, and then so we talked about a lot about relationships now, but that's not at all how our conversation started.
That's true. Let's go back into
so
that.
Yeah, it's also truly a general thing for each of us, for the woman and the man. To have that, allow that shift of the stereotypes and coming back to the middle balance somehow for the woman to be strong, but also being open to surrender and to be there for the man to lead if the man wants to lead, and for the man to still be strong and also have the space to show themselves vulnerable and not have the feeling that they always have to hold it together and be this perfect or strong or, you know, protecting person.
There's something that I love to chime in on too, because I have a friend and a coach who posted something like this on her Instagram story recently that I really loved, because it was all about how traditionally, stereotypically, when we think of men as the provider in the stereotypical sense, a lot of times, what's the first thing that comes to mind? Financial provider, provider of the home, provider of the safety and security. However, what if we reframe that? Because she's a very powerhouse woman. She brings in a majority of the finances, for example. She's deconditioning the way that divine union is in terms of that polarity. And he takes care of the house and the sacred space and supports her and like holds this like light bubble around her. So then she feels so safe to flourish. And that's something that I really value so much, is that of course there's high powered women that could just support themselves all financially and do it all themselves. And then there gets to be that idea of like, I don't need anyone. I have all my finances in place. Unless a man is making more than me and can provide even more, then I don't need him. Like there's that mentality. And I see it a lot in women that they bring up this shell that then prevents any wonderful man from coming in there. And it's something I'm really passionate about, reframing the idea of the provider. The provider can be someone who illuminates your gifts and brings in so much joy to your life and provides a safe space for you to be your vulnerable self and to heal. And that's something that is a big topic that I'd like to talk about.
Yeah, it's basically not just being so black and white, so to speak, you know. So because there are these sayings and many, many powerful examples where they used to say something like, yeah, every strong man has a strong woman. So we're in a sense being it for, you know, long time ago, and for the kings, or being it for musicians or for artists or for entrepreneurs, whatever, or politicians, oftentimes were the woman was really essential for the creativity, for the input, like, or the strength or the emotional support, whatever it was, you know, in all these examples. And I think this can also be the other way for sure, where the women are in the forefront and the man just is in the background more and providing that whatever it is, the structure or the stability or the emotional support or the family support or whatever is wanted. And it's fair, like totally fine. Like if whatever makes people happy, right? So I think it's inviting an openness and to rediscover roles or just let them go completely anyway. And yeah, find the flow and find the play in this.
Find the dance in that in relationship, and also for those that have gotten out of a relationship because the relationship wasn't in the polarity or the, you know, the terms that you had desired. I think it's a really great introspection to see how you contributed to that. For example, the man that I'm working with, he contributed to the sense that he lost himself and had lost any direction and purpose. And then, you know, was completely wrapped up in taking care of 6 children and his previous partner before the relationship ended. He completely lost his sense of self and his purpose. And I think that that's when we're questioning what's providership and what's, you know, the role, I think the role always comes back to, are you able to nourish yourself, keep your own flame lit, and provide, yeah, chime in.
Yeah, you finish the sentence.
You got the mic. I know you have a thought.
Yeah, no, that's great. And again, goes back to speaking about generally about not only people in a relationship, but also about, because you just said nourish yourself, and that's super important, like essential for women and men. And that goes back to the empowerment fact for me, for like the women empowerment, which is great, you know, where like, yeah, they nourish themselves and, you know, take care of themselves. And the men do the same. They also nourish themselves and take care of themselves. So this is the balance. This is where the balance is. It's not the woman expecting it all from a man. And then that's why many women, they just want that relationship. They crave for the romantic partner, because then they think they're going to be happy, and then they think they're going to have the support, and they're going to be able to thrive more, whatever. And the same for men sometimes, where they think, yeah, that's, you know, similar, when they crave that relationship for many different reasons of, like, you know, having a better life, which is, yeah, not the right approach, I would say. It's really, I mean, you can finish my sentence now.
I remember when we were going through a challenging time, you sent me a reel, an Instagram reel, that said something around, like, you know, people always wait till after they break up to do the work, that, you know, they start going to the gym, they start eating healthier, or if they've had heartbreak, they go on the heartbreak diet and they start really taking care of themselves and going into their purpose, because there's no one else, you know, distracting them. And what if the real invited us to introspect? What if we did that before, you know, like, you just naturally start being the best version of yourself? But I think the challenge is, oftentimes we get so caught up trying to provide for another person or show up in a certain way for another person that we lose the internal compass.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And so about the relationship, a powerful question, or two powerful questions you can ask yourself or your partner to see if it's really a beneficial relationship. The one is making sure that everyone supports each other, and the second one is, yeah, the question is my partner helping me to become the best possible version of myself? And this for relationship, though, coming, I always like to go back to general, you know, men, women, because I think that's also true for life, that we as the women and men, and this goes back to your quote earlier from earlier before too, the women and men, we can support each other much more in the normal life, because when we are more connected with ourselves and more balanced, then we can also be more connected with each other, and we can be more open, and we can support each other more, even in any relationship, be it friends or be it work or whatever, because we are more in tune with us as woman or man.
Yeah, what I really love about that too is that I have male friends here in this community that they just check in with me and they say, how are you doing? And I do the same thing with them. Hey, like, what's on your heart? What do you need support with? And we can vulnerably share that. And I think there's a lot of times there's a friendship barrier sometimes between women and men, because that maybe the questions aren't there. Like, how can I support you? How can I be there for you? And I find it so fulfilling to have these connections with men where they're vulnerable and intimate enough to say that something's not good, and that they that they might be going through a career crisis, or they might have lost their purpose. And that for a man, I think, is a really challenging thing, to lose the sense of purpose and direction.
Yeah, that goes back to the same thing, like that the man, for the man to feel safe to share vulnerable things. And this can be with any woman. It don't need to be in a relationship with them, you know. Exactly. It can be just friends that you have here, like guy friends. And it's really beautiful because we have a beautiful community here, and we have a men's circle all the time, and where we as a man come together and share and talk about things and share vulnerable. And then it's also beautiful for me to hear that some of our common friends, your guy friends, they also can talk with you vulnerably, and vice versa too. Like, you have some of course you have your women friends, your sisterhood here, and you also have some guy friends that we also share, and you know, it's not just like, oh, how are you, yeah, you know, how are you, such a, I think, right. We don't like everyone think, oh, how are you, and everything, okay, fine, good, whatever.
Yeah, it's so much better. It's like, where do you need support, how is your heart feeling, you know, what's going on, and like, what are you challenged with? Where are you struggling? Where can I lend a hand? How can I be there for you today? The thing that I really love is that sometimes with the masculine, with a male friend, I can get a different unbiased perspective than I would get with my girlfriends, which is really nice. It's really nice to get a completely different viewpoint and to be seen in a different way. So I really inspire and invite listeners today to see where they can lean in to more friendships, more vulnerability in that way, and to start by just to simply reach out for more space holding and support. That's so often very challenging for people, but it can start, if it's not with your partner, if you don't have a partner, to just, you know, find a friend, a dear friend that you can just offer more vulnerability to and say, hey, is there anything I can hold space for you for today? And just practice that intimacy, and it'll let down some of the stereotypes and walls about needing to be so strong and have it all together all the time.
Yeah, for sure.
So any other things we talked about that in our conversation? I was getting really fired up.
You were fired up.
I was fired up. Okay, so it all started.
You had some anger there.
I had some anger. So I will just say this as well, is that I was getting so angry about posts that I've seen or comments like at the retreat that I was on about women, you know, putting men down. And I got so fired up about it. And that's why I have this passion now to work with more men to help empower them in from the feminine viewpoint, you know, because most coaches for men are men. And I've been asked by more men now to hold space. So there's a sign coming through. Yeah, because there's a reason I'm getting so fired up about these posts about women saying that the men are just not at the caliber or whatever for worthy of their love or worthy of, you know, whatever. And it got me so angry because when I see this man in front of me crying and spilling out his, you know, shame and his, you know, disappointments, I really get to see these men as the human that they are. And everyone deserves love, everyone deserves second chances, everyone deserves to be seen as healed. Mm-hmm. Right? And to place what I like to imagine is placing a crown on every man's head, like the little boy inside of them, because maybe they never got that from their father, or maybe they never got that from their mother. Maybe they never got that from society. So they're acting in an old way. But what if they go back and visualize the inner child that they are and place the crown on his head? And you place it as well, and you see that there, it shifts the reality for how that person reacts and how that person shows up.
Yeah.
Whether it's yourself
and
or something.
I think a big part of that is also, you just said you saw this person, like you've seen me, you've seen men in that space, and that's vulnerability and that honesty and authenticity. And I think maybe some women, they just have never seen that in a man. So that's why it could be a reason why they have a different perspective on that. So, yeah.
So I have so much compassion for women, for example, that have these viewpoints and are really hard on men, because I have compassion because something in their life took away the prospect of men rising to their fullest, or in a way that they don't see their crowns there or their worthiness there. So I do have so much of that compassion. At the same time, it's like, okay, let's reframe those narratives that we've had on what makes each other worthy of love, and see each other as that being that, you know, even down on their knees in, you know, feeling like a failure, having that shame, that to see the other as that king or that queen or that, you know, beautiful being that's doing the work, that's doing the healing work. And that gives the other space. And that's what I believe why men have been coming to me for this work, or even the vulnerable space, is because I see them as kings. I see them as incredible humans. I see them the way that many people don't see them, or that the way that they haven't been able to see themselves. Provide that reflection to them from a woman who they can trust, you know, and they're like, wow, actually Fern sees me this way, or, you know, and it's not just because it's like some, you know, oh, you know, everyone's beautiful. It's this deep seeing that I see the purity of someone's essence in their soul.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And generally, probably one of the most challenging things for us humans is to always see the beautiful, good essence mm-hmm. in a person before all the other things that come with it, and all the things to work on and to grow and to improve, and the mistakes and the shortcomings and all the things.
And that's not to say that you just put up with, you know, all the shortcomings and all the things. It's like listening, if you're in relationship or desiring a relationship with a certain person, it's really to look at your own values and your own, you know, what for you does providership mean? What does for you, like, what makes you feel really safe inside? And to look at your own values and to stand with that integrity for yourself, right? If something is really out of alignment, it just doesn't mean like, oh, see, that person is a beautiful king or a beautiful queen, and, you know, just forego all of your values. But first to reassess what they really are. Is this just something from society that society said that a man or a woman needs to be? And then to really define for yourself, what is it that I crave? Like for myself, I was never one of those women who needed or wanted the financial provider, and I just sit on a cushion and sip my tea. Like I never was one of those women. I didn't grow up in a reality like that. My mom and dad both worked equally. And so I never had that viewpoint, but for some women they do, and that's totally fine. It's to assess what belongs to you, what is your actual desire, and to claim that if that is your desire, then that is your desire, and that's beautiful. And if a man can or can't provide that, or a woman can or can't provide that, that's okay. It's not taking away that they're not a king and they're not a queen. No, they are, just it's a different definition, right? Yeah.
I think it goes back to a general thing that it would be a beautiful invitation to really not generalize all the things from our own perspective. It's like more, it's like we come from society and we come from stereotypes again that are a certain way, and they had been generalized, which means like expected from anyone and expected in both ways, that all the women want that in men and these and these things. So it's not only about this whole topic of men and women, it's for anything really in life, all the different preferences and unique characters and ideas and ideals. It's really allowing ourselves to open up more and be like, yeah, okay, so maybe my friend has this and this relationship with their partner, can be he or she, of course. So and they have these and these roles, and that's great for them. They consciously choose it, and it works well. We have different ones. Another friend of yours has the classic thing where she's not working and the husband provides, and it's also fine for them. You know, it's really just allowing each other more acceptability for different scenarios, and yeah, inviting each other, like, hey, find out what's good for you, find out what's good for you, and then we can all have these different ways we live. We can create it for ourselves, we can create it new for ourselves. I mean, not us too, but I mean in the world, I mean with our friends, when in the city, in this place, like wherever we are, we can, in our community, in our circle, we can encourage each other to explore by creating a safe space for communication and creating a safe space to accept and be accepted.
That's beautiful, to be accepted, right? To just be, to know that every relationship is different. Every person brings a different set of preferences, and just to say, okay, what if we bring more acceptance? It starts with ourselves first and foremost. So what if we can bring more acceptance? And I accept that I'm not the girl who's the wilderness like builder, right? I can design something or have an idea of a big picture. And then I had to take a while to accept that I'm not the girl who's going to go, you know, carry a bunch of wood and help you with the yard work and do that. And it was really, you know, some women do. And I really am like, wow, I wish I was one of those women that just wanted to do this, this, this. And I had to accept the fact that I sometimes, like, I'd rather be, you know, creating a cozy home and making.
Yeah, that wasn't the best example because it was very stereotypical.
That's a stereotypical.
But there are other examples too of things that I just, yeah, no, they're just not your character, your trait.
Right, right.
It's like you don't expect from anyone to become a professional athlete, so, or to be great at football or whatever, you know. So why would you expect from anyone then to do this, Gordon, or for women to be able to cook well or whatever? I don't know, not the best example either, but just saying, like, why would you expect people and genders to do specific things and not do specific things? It's
I really love that, especially here where we live, there's so many people redefining that. You know, there's so many women that out here that I know, as single women, they bought land by themselves and they really showed the world and themselves, you know, I could live on land in the jungle by myself. And for example, I have a very close friend that I was actually on the retreat with as well. And she bought land by herself before she met her divine union partner. She bought this land and she managed a whole building team. She added renovations on her house. She learned the little bit of Spanish she needed to get by. She had the work as a single woman, had all the workers around doing the build, like building additions on her house, had a well built, all of these things that traditionally, you know, many women would wait and say, I'll just wait until the partner comes and then, you know, work on that together. But she, you know, took, you know, that responsibility and thrives, you know.
And that's what I mean. There's so many examples, and I have another one. Like there's there are some we know women here and that are doing their own projects, and they kind of manage the building and the creation, and they live and they just do it by themselves, and they have fun, they're fine with it. And then I also know a woman here that moved here with her partner, but they're not together anymore. And she recently told me, so basically I never wanted to have a house and a garden like this big and for myself. I just did it for my ex-partner so he can, you know, go and work and create and do the things. And now she's thinking about probably changing it up and maybe moving somewhere else where she rents the place and has more comfort again and more peace of mind. And that's also fine. I mean, she can do it because she does it. And it's like what I said earlier, like I as a man, I can hold it together. I can do it. I can go through these things. And you women have the same. And the empowerment thing, you can, I'm empowered. I do it. I can do it all. Which is, you can. Which doesn't mean that it's the best thing for you or what you really want or what will make you most happy. So she might decide to sell it and then go move somewhere else and live for rent where she has someone else to take care of all the things, which is totally understandable.
I love I want to slow that part down again to say it again. Can you say that part down of just because you can, to ask yourself, do you really want to? Can you say that part again?
Yeah. Okay. I had this for myself so many times. I had to learn it over years and years. Just because I can do something doesn't mean that I should or that it's the best thing for me or for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
It's so important because we humans, we can do so many things. And we don't even know how many things we can really do. But and at the same time, we don't have to do it. Like, I don't have to go to the moon, you know? Like, I don't have to set out to do whatever crazy things or small things, you know? I don't have to repair my own car or learn how to do it only because I'm a man. You know, I can go to a mechanic and use my energy for something else. You know, there are millions of examples. And I haven't been necessarily good at that because this is thing of like, I can do it all alone, you know, I can save money, save time, whatever. There's so many reasons why people do it, why people have that, okay, I do it all. But.
Or that no one else can do it as well as they can.
Yeah, exactly. It's a perfectionism thing. I've been through it too, yeah.
Yeah.
So all these things, yeah.
So going back to the original, where we got into with this conversation, perhaps an invitation for self-inquiry for both men and women, depending on who's listening to this and what you're identifying as today. Like what places in your life could you be more vulnerable? Could you be more expressed? Are you able to do that with your partner? Are you able to open that space?
Or with your friends.
And if you can't with that person, that, for example, in partnership, perhaps have some sort of confidant, some friend, some probably non-biased person as well, that's not just going to project, you know, their own things on a person, you know, just as someone, a neutral person. Could be a coach, could be a mentor, could be a friend that, you know, has, you know, their own things. They're just holding space for you, someone to listen, a men's circle, a women's circle. And can you practice vulnerability? And for example, with yourself as well, if you can give yourself back that self-respect and dignity that perhaps if you felt it was ever taken away, to visualize yourself receiving it back and see how those relationships around you start to change.
Yeah, and even that was a great start, by the way. And even going into conversations with friends, or anyone, like you feel like talking about these things and just asking questions, like, hey, you know, what do you expect from men? What do you expect from women? And what is your feeling? How do you feel pressured maybe sometimes by the expectations of the other gender? Or just like, yeah, ask these kind of questions to get a different perspective, like hear the other perspective, and then I bet that some of the answers will be really interesting and surprising even for you if you really just ask, yeah, you know, let's have a conversation, just like make it really, like it doesn't have to be hard or like a big thing, just like casual, like, hey, let's just talk about that, I'm curious, you know, I want to understand you men more, I want to understand mm-hmm. you women more, like can you tell me how you see this and this, and this can be a conversation between like anyone, like friends and you know, acquaintances.
You know? I really love that, because I remember the first time you told me that at your men's circle, the men were coming to this common consensus that there was a lot of pressure on them as men. I was really like, it touched my heart when you first told me that, when you first started going to this men's circle, and you said that that was a common thread around the men, and there was something inside my heart that was just like really touched and wanting men to know that they are amazing and that they're doing so much. And again, like it really affects me and wants, to be so much more balance and harmony where men and women feel like they can talk about this more openly and they can ask for that safe space more openly.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So that's my mission. That's good our enough. Mission with, you know, the couples retreats that are happening and also retreats for single people who want to be in that relationship. And the first step in coming into a conscious relationship is having that ability to be vulnerable and that ability to let down all the, you know, the impressions that were there before and to strip away the old belief systems that are preventing you from being in that, being in that union. Yeah. So,
and nourish yourself, take care of yourself, so you already live your happy life in your happy place, so that from that point you can connect to someone else that also does the same, and then you can amplify it.
That's, yeah, absolutely right. It's like you're coming from, and how we manifested each other too was, well, I was really in a place of inner, like I was inner, it was good inside, I was feeling really strong, really whole, really complete, really balanced,
and I didn't look for anyone, you weren't looking for any relationship.
No, you were so. Not looking, yeah, and that's the thing, but you had been clear about your values. That was important. You were clear about your values, you were very clear about your own sense of self-worth. You came to me knowing your sense of worth, you came knowing who you are. You came knowing certain values that you have, and you had a desire to do the work, you know, and that's something that to know those for yourself, that is, it's so important, and it's something that only you can figure out on your own before another person. If you're already in a relationship and you're trying to figure that out, that's also fine. But then, you know, sometimes it takes a little more adjustment if your values aren't always completely aligned and communicated.
I just say it's easier to do that honestly when you're not in a relationship, because when you're in a relationship, we are already biased. Usually you don't really want to lose it, and then maybe you're afraid that if you're really honest with yourself, that it might be too big of a gap and the relationship might not be in alignment anymore, or is something that they both of the people cannot overcome. So I think it's easier to be honest with yourself before or after, you know, in between, whatever. So then you don't have anything to lose, really. It's only to win.
Yeah, absolutely. And for all those listening who are inspired in this conversation and want to know more, both of us, we offer these retreats together for men and women. And then also, if you feel called to receive mentorship and, you know, safe space to be listened to and held, then we both provide that as well. And, you know, it's really such a beautiful journey to be able to use, for example, all the tools in my own life that I've gone through with therapy and inner child work and navigating polarities and so many things. So yeah, I'm so grateful for all the teachers and the coaches. I wouldn't have been able to get to where I am if I didn't have
and all
of this support.
And also that you're able to talk about it, because that's, I think that's one important thing. When only because you have a coach or someone is a coach, it doesn't mean that they are perfect and they have all that stuff figured out and they didn't have the same challenges. Rather the opposite. The more of the challenges they had, the better they are, probably, the coach, and the more authentic and openly they can also speak about their vulnerabilities. It's even more helpful and I think more believable too. Like when I work with a coach, I would love to have a connection and feel okay, yeah, he knows or she knows what she's talking about because she's been there. Like they made the experience.
Absolutely. That's why I hired one of my previous coaches that I did some of the biggest healing work with, was that, you know, I saw what she had gone through and I said, wow, if you could get through from where you were to how you are in relationship now, I want that. Like I know that you're real and you've done the work, and that, and her vulnerability is, I could see it, you know? So that's so important and also so respected. So whether it's with a coach or with your relationships and with your life, the future is not AI. The future is authenticity and integrity. It is the human connection. It is, you know, being real, because that's going to be the biggest, you know, the biggest currency, I believe, in the future, is the people who are still in their truth and in their values and holding safe space for other people to be real and not robots.
Yeah, the future is probably going to be all of that together, to be honest.
AI is a future. That's a whole new podcast. But I believe that is part of the future. But I think what it's going to be the biggest way that we can all thrive with community and with each other and with relationship is, you know, being this safe,
human connection.
It's human connection. It's being human the connection. Safe space to still be human when there's perfectionism out there. Like with AI being so perfect, what about the messiness and the rawness of the human experience? So good next podcast conversation.
Okay. Yeah. I think that's a really good point to end it. And see you next time, I would say.
So if you really loved this conversation, if you were inspired, if you were touched in some way, please reach out to us and let us know. We love receiving your messages. We love interaction, connection, and perhaps you may give us some inspiration for our future podcast episodes.
See you soon.